With this, the phrase that we were thinking about earlier on, this time tomorrow, for a moment. Just put that next slide up, Craig, please. Just stay with this a bit longer, because what I want to do is I am going to link what Michael was saying and helping us to think about with this phrase, this time tomorrow, with what we've got going on in the part of John 10 that we're looking at this morning. You know, we probably already have a view, don't we, a thought in our minds on what tomorrow is going to be like. Do you get that? Yeah, even before we go to sleep tonight, we've probably already got going on in our heads something about tomorrow. You know, we know already one person is not looking forward to a particular appointment he's got tomorrow morning. Others of us might be thinking differently. So this time tomorrow, your thought about tomorrow, your perspective on tomorrow, is it like this? Are we ready? Are we ready? Yay, it's Monday. Let's jump for joy. It's Monday. Hands up for that. No, nobody, absolutely nobody in the whole building is excited and joyful about tomorrow. Keith is, right? Everybody after the service, Keith will be leading our prayer ministry, okay? To fill us with joy and vitality as we think about our perspective on tomorrow. So for the rest of you, is it more like this? Can I just be honest here? This is more how I feel this morning. Or it has been. You know, I'm getting there now. I'm waking up a bit now. The coffee's kicking in a bit and worship has lifted my spirits a bit. But our perspective on tomorrow is going to be many different things, isn't it? But keep thinking about that perspective. Okay. Tell me what this is. Next image. What's this? Right. Thank you. Right. Rod has said a half full glass of water. Put your hand up if you agree with Rod. My goodness, we are all kind of like pessimistic this morning, aren't we? Is there another way you could look at that? Is there a different way of describing that image? Half empty. So hands up if you think it's half empty. So half full, half empty. How do you know? How do you know? How do you know? You started this off. How do you know? It looks half full. But how do you know it's half empty? Right. Okay. How do you know which is which? Which one of those two glasses is half full and which is half empty? Pardon? Depends where you started from. Okay. Right. Would this help? Next image. Would this help? If we label it, does that help us? Does that help us work out what's going on? If only everything in life had a label. Right, everything that we had to think about, everything that we had to shape our perspective around. If only everything in life had a label to tell us whether this thing that we're going to do is going to be a good thing down the line or whether it's, well, you know, it might feel good at the minute, but later on you're going to regret it. If only everything in life had a label, that would be great, wouldn't it? No? Well, we'd never make any mistakes, Frank. Or do you never anyway? Are you so perfect already that... The excitement of the unknown. Okay, what about the challenge of the unknown? We're going way off script here, but this is fine. What about the challenge of the unknown? Who prefers the excitement of the unknown? Who's more focused on the challenge of the unknown? Yeah, you see where I'm going with this? It's all about our perspective, our starting point, our mindset, what's going on in our minds. You know, Jesus said, I have come so that you may have life in all its fullness. Or we could phrase that another way and say life filled with overflowing abundance or to the full with unending measure. Life that carries on being full again and again and again. Doesn't run out, doesn't empty. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life in all its fullness. He didn't mean just for today, just for tomorrow, just for a limited window of opportunity in your life. Or that it would be in short supply and if we were really bad or careless with what we were doing, it would run out and life would be empty forevermore. That's not what Jesus meant. But you know, at the same time, we've got to be careful here, haven't we? If this image better represents what Jesus meant when he described life in all its fullness, that doesn't give us any right at all to think, well, never mind, we can go around doing whatever we like. We can be as careless and reckless as we like and irresponsible with our choices. It doesn't matter because God will just keep filling us with more life in all its fullness. That's not what it means. That's totally missing the point of getting our heads around the perspective on what Jesus had in mind. Just hold those thoughts in mind as I read from John 10. I'm going to read verses 7 through to verse 10. So just a short section of John 10. And here I want us to be thinking about what is going on. What is Jesus saying? What is the perspective on life that Jesus is trying to bring? So follow in your Bibles or on your device, whatever you're finding easiest. So verse 7. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All whoever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life, and have life to the full. Lord, I pray this morning that you'll help us to hear those words again. We've been focusing on these words for a few weeks now, and we will be for a few weeks more. Lord, help us to focus on what on earth is it that you're trying to say to us right now, individually, as a church, whatever that is. What are you saying to us about this life in all its fullness? Lord, help us not to gloss over anything that we're hearing from you this morning, but to think carefully about it and respond in the way you need us to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, it's so easy though, isn't it, to gloss over things or ignore them because we don't actually think they relate to us. And so we might hear Jesus say, I've come to give you life in all its fullness. And we might even be thinking that's not, Jesus wasn't talking to me. He was talking to other people. Yeah, we can easily gloss over things, and then when we do that, we're going to miss out. We're going to miss out on what we're hearing. We are going to very easily get deceived in life, and instead of knowing truth, we're going to be building our lives on other things. So let's just think about those three points. First of all, don't miss what you hear. Did you notice how verse 7 started? Jesus said again. Jesus had to repeat himself. You know, when you read it in the Bible, Jesus said again, I wonder if he was thinking, oh, they're not listening. They haven't heard me. They haven't understood. Let me say it again. How many teachers, you know, can relate to this? Let me go through it with you again. Listen properly. You know, one of the least favorite phrases that I hear in our house too often, one of my least favorite phrases goes something like this. I'll be there in a minute. Or with a tone of, oh, do I really have to? I'm quite happy doing what I'm doing here. Do I really have to? And then you get, oh, I'll do it in a minute. I don't like those phrases. If only those in a minute, the minute was the same length as a minute in the real world in which I live, rather than a minute in the minds of younger members of the, I'm not talking about my wife, by the way. Just in case you're worried, she's here listening. The kids are not, so that's fine. Don't tell them I said this. But that phrase, if only what was being said actually meant what I'm hearing, then that would be much better, wouldn't it? My wife could agree at this point. Would be much better, wouldn't it? Yeah, for both of us, yeah. You know, I'm a reasonable person. That's very unkind. Yeah, what? It's unkind? That I'm a reasonable person? I'm not. You just watch it. I'll cut your beard off. I think I'm a reasonable person most of the time, but at least that's what I think anyway. But then I would, wouldn't I? I would say that. That's my perspective on me. That's what I think that other people think about me. But this is the point, isn't it? Right at the start of this teaching series in John's Gospel that we're working through, Life in All Its Fullness, we notice that Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. They were the ones who were in charge. They were teaching in the synagogues. They were setting the agenda for people to live by. And we noticed on a previous week, didn't we, that some of them were possibly very godly people and doing that in right ways. But most expressed what they taught in really, really demanding ways. They were rigid. They were legalistic. People had to do what they were saying. But they were also hypocritical. They didn't live up to what they were saying. They shaped their own idea of what life in all its fullness looked like. And it was all about them. Just notice that. They had shaped their own idea on life in all its fullness. And it was all about them, all about what they wanted, all about their ways. We're always so good at listening, are we, when what we hear needs something from us, particularly if it needs us to do something differently to what we're doing at the moment. Perhaps we don't want to listen then. Not always so good at hearing when something needs to shift and move us out of something that we're settled into doing, our settled ways of being. But, you know, good listening not only hears, but it also acts. Hearing and listening lead to a response. You know, that may well need to be a response that ignores completely what's being heard. That could be a right response. Or perhaps the response is, actually, I'm going to speak out against what I'm hearing said. But we need to be able to discern the difference. What is the right perspective? What am I hearing? What am I going to do with it? What is the right response? And then we need to let that hearing and that listening, that responding, lead us into a better place, this life in all its fullness. Not something that's self-styled and flawed with our own weaknesses, but something else. So it's easy to say, isn't it? Perhaps not always easy to do, but easy to say. Perhaps there are times that actually we'll only discover whether our choices and our decisions and those kinds of things were wise down the line. We need to think carefully about what we're doing. But, you know, bad hearing, bad listening, lacking of response, things are going wrong. That's always going to happen when we close ourselves off to listening and to understanding or to knowing how to respond well. When we're closed off, when we don't want to hear, we stand very little chance, do we, of getting things right and being affirmed or being confident or being experiencing life in all its fullness. Do you know, if we can't do that, if we can't listen openly or willing, or we're willing to take on board a new perspective, then we're going to miss the goodness in what we hear. That's what's happening here in John 10. That's why Jesus said again what he did. He was so desperate to make sure that the people hearing actually understood what he was saying. They actually took on board what he was saying and let it change them. Let it transform their lives away from their own self-styled ways of being into the fullness that God was showing them through him. So if Jesus said again, what was it he said? What's his main point in these verses? Well, it's this. Don't be deceived. In verse 2 of John 10, Jesus explained that the watchman of the gate of the sheepfold was there to make sure that the sheep could rest and find their security within the sheepfold. And then only the shepherd who was supposed to be coming close to them was allowed in. Nobody else could come in through the gate. But now in verses 7 and 9, Jesus states that he is the gate. He is the one to give that solid protection, that assuredness that here is my place of safety and well-being. You know, I've still got this amazing gate that I made last week for our all-age worship. But look at it now. You know, when we were doing our, what do we call that thing over there? The craft zone. I got a couple of the girls that are not here this morning, but to write the key verse that we were focusing on last Sunday on here. This is great, isn't it? It looks so much better. But what I want to do is I want to make sure it stays looking good. So I'm just going to wash it. Okay. Yes, it's a cardboard gate. I'm just going to wash it, okay? So I'm just going to make sure that, you know, this goes well and that the writing doesn't wash away like it actually is at the moment. Don't worry about that. I'm just going to wash it. We're just going to leave that there to stain the carpet, probably. We're just going to wash it and come back to that. Make sure it's as good as it can be, okay? I don't want anything messing it up, okay? When something's good, when something's right, we've got to look after it, okay? So we'll come back to that. For now, just notice the link from John 10, verse 1, to verse 8 and the first half of verse 10. When the gate is open, what are the sheep going to do? Well, they're going to go through it, aren't they? Sheep aren't well known for missing out on an opportunity to go off exploring or to escape or whatever. When the gate's open, the sheep are going to go through it. They're not going to go, oh, look, gate's open. Nah, we'll stay here. They're going to go and explore. They're going to go and have a look. They're going to check this out. They're going to check out this this freedom. So how do they know? How do they know that if they go through that particular gate, that they're going to be safe? That particular gate is going to lead them into places of goodness and blessing, into places of pasture, as Jesus described it in John 10. How do they know? Think about ourselves in the same way. How do we know? How do we know if the places that we will go to fill our lives with, or the things that we'll do, how do we know that they're setting us up for life in all its fullness, not just for now, but for eternity as well? Michael mentioned eternal life. How do we know whether the things we're doing, the things we're basing our lives on, how we're shaping our lives, how do we know whether these are the right things? Before we go off exploring, how do we know whether we're moving into places of blessing and goodness? Well, Jesus has already warned in verse 1 that not everybody's intentions or methods were good, or had the best interest of, in the illustration he's using, the sheep, had the best interest of people around them, the Pharisees. Not everyone's intentions were the best they could be in heart and mind. So how do we know when to follow? The ones whose intentions weren't all good, well, they're the ones who were teaching about life in more of a dishonest way. They were trying to shape life in a less than helpful kind of way. But Jesus said again in verse 8 that when we know the right voice to listen to, we'll stop being deceived by other voices or other choices, because, verse 10, they may sound convincing or new or exciting, but really all that's going on is they're like the thieves and robbers that Jesus is describing here, who come to steal and kill and destroy, who take life in all its fullness away from us. Even though they seem to be offering us so much at the beginning that was so genuine, that was so good, was so refreshing. Just come back to our supposedly good gate. You know, I wanted to wash it to make sure it was clean, make sure it was going to stay good. And actually what I did earlier on was I took the tape off the back of it that was going to make it strong and secure. And, I'm not sure this towel's going to survive, but look, it's not really going to do much anymore, is it? This nice, strong, once strong gate that's now pretty wrecked, pretty soggy, easy to squash. This is what happens when we're deceived. This is what happens when we think we know where we're going. We think we know what the right things are that are being said to us. But actually, once all the things that we knew that gave us strength and vitality and hope will get wrecked. Jesus said, I've come to give you life in all its fullness. And when we latch on to that, when we get to grips with that, this won't happen. Look, I've said before, that doesn't mean life's going to be brilliant forevermore, that we're never going to have any rocky patches, we're never going to have any rough times. That's not what Jesus was saying. He was saying, though, that a life lived through him in all its fullness means that when we're in those places where we're down, then we can still see our hope. We can still see and know our strength through him. We can know truth. Not by mishearing, not by being deceived, but through seeing and understanding that in Christ alone we know our truth. You know, I've posed a question in the teaching series notes for today. It's on your new sheets if you haven't looked at it already. It says this: was Jesus being absurdly egotistical, or can we relate to what he was saying another way? Was Jesus being absurdly egotistical to say, I am the gate, I am the one to lead you into life in all its fullness? Well, if you'd asked the Pharisees that question, they would have said, well, yes, of course he is. Jesus is being absurdly egotistical by claiming that he's the one, he's the way to life in all its fullness, because no, he's not, because we are. To be egotistical means being excessively conceited or absorbed in yourself, or superior, self-centered. So were the Pharisees right to label Jesus in that way? I want to just very carefully and very gently say that I think, in one sense, they were right. Don't stone me yet, because we're not stopping there, okay? But just bear with me for a minute. In one sense, perhaps from the perspective of the Pharisees, maybe they were right. Just think about it. Jesus was likening the Pharisees to the thieves and robbers who were stealing the fullness of life away from people and claiming that actually he's the one through whom we can receive what he's given, life in all its fullness. To the Pharisees, just think about the Pharisees, not anything else, just the Pharisees. That sounded like Jesus was being completely absorbed in himself, doesn't it? He's being the superior one. To the Pharisees, that's what was going on. They weren't finding what Jesus was saying helpful. They didn't want to listen to this. But the thing is, they'd only got half the story when they reached that point in their minds. It's only half the story, isn't it? But no doubt it was the only bit that the Pharisees were willing to listen to, because actually to listen to Jesus and to go along with them meant that they had to shift from their own mindsets. They had to shift from their own place of control and power and dominance and think, do you know what? Maybe there's a different perspective. When Jesus said, I've come that you may have life in all its fullness, this isn't a new claim to right godly living God's ways. And the Pharisees knew that. At least they would have remembered if they'd thought carefully about what they were hearing. Here's an example from the Old Testament. The Lord speaks through his prophet Isaiah and says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, Isaiah was one of the great prophets of the people of God. And what the Lord said through him would have been passed from one generation to another and would have reached the Pharisees. They would have known about this. They would have known that God is saying, listen, this isn't all about you, but focus on my ways. And my love for you, my grace, my forgiveness, all of those things, focus on the fullness of all the things that I'm showing you. So for Jesus to be saying that through him we can know life in all its fullness, well, listen, that's totally consistent, completely and utterly consistent with the whole message of God that we have throughout the whole Bible, beginning to end. But if you don't want to hear it, you're going to push it away, aren't you? You're going to label Jesus in some way that he doesn't deserve, and you're not going to listen. You're going to be closed off. If you're like the Pharisees, well, they didn't want to hear that. They closed themselves off to even thinking about that. They didn't want to hear it. They certainly didn't want other people to hear it. They didn't want to have any less focus on them, on their power, and their self-styled, self-centered, conceited ways of being. He certainly didn't want people to realize that actually what Jesus was saying was the truth. It's the Pharisees who were deceiving people, not Jesus. Their deception was wrapped up in so many layers of themselves and all kinds of other things that maybe it was hard to spot truth in amongst what was going on at the time. It's much the same way for us, isn't it? So many different things in our life. We could talk about the world being over-commercialized. We could talk about different pressures, different expectations, all kinds of different things that put layers on life and tell us this is what you need to have life in all its fullness. You know, on the surface, we said just now, it seems reasonable to say that we can, in one sense, from the mindset of the Pharisees, describe Jesus as being egotistical. But listen carefully, it's not. That is never going to be okay. You can put your rocks away now. You don't need to stone me. It's never going to be okay to say that about Jesus. And how can we validly claim that? Well, listen, Philippians 2 doesn't say that Jesus gave up the glory and splendor of heaven because there wasn't enough there for him, so he went looking for something more and something better. It doesn't say that. It says that Jesus gave up the glory and splendor of heaven to die on a cross for us. That wasn't some kind of self-centered stunt, was it? But he did that to give his all to us. Jesus gave himself to us. He gave us his all so that we could know life in all its fullness. The way the Pharisees demanded that of people didn't give them that at all. And each and every time that we read in the Bible, one of the Jesus said, I am sayings, and then he unpacks that. Each and every time, there's something there about what Jesus is giving, not something that Jesus is demanding or taking, but something that Jesus is giving of himself to us. So we could go to John 6, verse 35, and read about Jesus saying, I am the bread of life, and unpack that and discover that what Jesus is saying to us is that I have come to give you life in all its fullness, to provide for you, to sustain you, to protect you. John 8, verse 12, Jesus was saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will walk in the light of life. Jesus is giving us that opportunity to follow in ways of light, not darkness. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see what's going on here? Jesus is giving. You know, we've already mentioned the cross. If no other way than looking at the cross, will you realize that Jesus is not egotistical, but is everything about him is about giving, about giving, about giving of himself, giving us life in all its fullness. For Jesus to be saying that through him we can know life in all its fullness, it's totally consistent with the continuity of God's word through the Bible, beginning to end. Do you know, please don't ever let anybody deceive you into believing that Jesus saying that is about him being absurdly egotistical. None of what Jesus is saying is about him being conceited or self-centered, because the whole focus is on him giving to us, not demanding from us, so that we can know life in all its fullness for ourselves, and Jesus can feel puffed up because we did. That's not what it's about. Jesus is giving to us. Don't mishear the truth, but listen carefully. Discern carefully. Don't be deceived, but make decisions that are focused on what Jesus is giving. We need to respond to this. We need to make our own responses. We're going to do that as we come to a close this morning. If all we ever do each week when we come here or when we gather in our life groups, but just think about just Sunday mornings for a moment. If all we ever do is to come here and pass the time of day and we politely sit and listen to a sermon, well, thank you for that. It's good of you to be polite. But you know what? That really isn't the point. I'm not giving you permission to be rude, by the way, but just listening, passing the time of day and being a bit polite around the edges, that really isn't the point, is it? We need to be open. We need to be open to being blessed and transformed by God. That's why we're here. And we need to do that so that whatever we're doing this time tomorrow, then we know how we can maintain life in all its fullness, and that's through Jesus. I want you to pray with me for a bit. What I mean by saying that is I don't want you to hear me praying. You will hear me praying. I don't want you just to hear me praying, But I want you to be praying with me by echoing in your own hearts and minds some of the things that I'm saying, or letting them prompt you in different directions. I'm going to lead this part of our prayers. In a minute, we're going to move on to a different time when we can pray and reflect on our own. But just let's pray together for a moment. Lord, the Pharisees demanded attention from people. But Lord, you came to give and to bless. That's so different. Father God, help us to hold on to that overwhelming truth that you offer us life in all its fullness. That you do that in totally consistent ways. Totally consistent with the fullness of the character and nature of who you are throughout the whole Bible. Thank you that that is the case, Lord, that you're totally consistent. And in all ways and at all times and in all things, we can see that. Jesus, you didn't demand that your disciples follow you. When you said, come, follow me, you didn't make that as a demand. You invited them to follow and left them to choose. And Father, keep reminding us that that's what a life of a disciple is. Listening to your voice, discovering truth, accepting your ways that transform our lives, and giving our response of gratitude to you. Lord, don't let us be careless and reckless and take that for granted. Lord, don't let anything risk us suddenly deciding that actually our ways are better than yours, because Isaiah has told us that it's not that way around. Lord, keep filling us up again and again and again with that reminder that life in all its fullness comes through you. Enable us to have that better perspective on life that you give us. Don't let us take you for granted, but have us be so overwhelmed by the fullness of your love for us that we can't do anything in response except worship you and honor you and follow you in everything. Lord, as we pause to pray quietly for ourselves at the moment, help us to respond to you, to guide us through your Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.